Let us come now and ask God for help as we turn to our sermon passage. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true and trustworthy. And we pray that today we might hear you speak clearly to us. We might embrace the message of your word. And we would know its power at work in our lives. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from Psalm 56. Psalm 56. We're going to read the entirety of the psalm. Verses 1 through to verse 13. Let us then hear God's word. Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I'll put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps, as they have waited to take my life. Because of wickedness, cast them forth. In anger, put down the peoples, O God. You have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I've put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Your vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. It is a frightening time. Vast numbers of people sick across the world. Many more adversely affected. So many suffering indirectly. And what will happen when this virus passes? What will our world look like? How will it affect our lives? In view of these realities, it's easy to fear. Today we turn to the scriptures because the Bible has so much to say to us about fear. It records the beginning and cause of fear, tells many stories about people who were afraid, but also gives us an answer to fear and speaks of a future where there will be no fear. If you experience fear, then the Bible, God's word, speaks to you. Today we will look at some verses in Psalm 56 under two headings: the reality of fear and then the answer to fear. So first then, the reality of fear. Fear is something that is common to us all. The Bible speaks generally of two types of fear. The first type is a positive type of fear, the fear of God. It's a loving respect of God. It's seeing God as great and worthy of praise. This fear, though, strangely enough, moves us to draw near to God rather than run away. To draw near to Him in love and in wonder and in praise. That's the first kind of fear, the fear of God, a positive kind of fear. Secondly, there's the fear perhaps we're more familiar with, fear that's associated with harm. We fear things that pose a threat to us. And it could almost be anything. Sickness that threatens our well-being, our bodily health. It may be people we fear. Fear their criticism. Fear their rejection. We may have financial fears. Fears of the change in the economy. We may fear things that we can't even articulate. Events that may be just around the corner. We fear loss. Things taken from us, people taken from us. We may fear the unknown, whatever may be out there that may threaten us. Our fears may be provoked by a sense of guilt. And indeed, many will know the fear of death. That last great enemy that comes to harm us and indeed to terminate our lives in this world. And perhaps one of the greatest fears, God Himself. Though not, of course, in the first way we were talking about, the biblical fear of God. But seeing God as an enemy, one who can harm us. And with these second kinds of fears, of course, we want to keep a safe distance from them so that those fears, those things we fear, cannot harm us. It's this second type of fear that we'll be speaking of today. The Bible tells us the origin of this second kind of fear. When God made this world, there was nothing to fear. Because there was nothing that could harm us. There was a wonderful harmony between God and people. But also between people and people. There were no enemies. There was also a wonderful harmony between people and the environment. Now, there was nothing out there that would threaten us. Now, this harmony was interrupted when humanity chose to reject God and His ways. There were many results that flowed from this choice. One of those results was fear. Fear entered into humanity, into our hearts. The first use of this word for fear, the same word that we find in Psalm 56, is found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10. That's the first occurrence of this Hebrew word for fear. And interestingly, this was immediately after Adam and Eve disregarded God's command not to eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. After they ate, they hid from God. God came asking Adam, "Where are you?" Adam said, "I'm hiding because I'm afraid." That is the origin of fear. And that came because Adam and Eve disregarded God's command, rejecting His ways. And since then, our world has changed. It is no longer that paradise, that place of harmony that it once was. Now there are things that can harm us. In fact, many things that can harm us. So as humans, we fear. There are things to fear. And it is vital for us to face the reality of those fears. This psalm, Psalm 56, was written by David, who was to become the king of Israel. He knew fear. And he often speaks about his fear in the psalms, the songs that he wrote. Notice what it says in verse 3. He says, when I am afraid. Not if I'm afraid, not perhaps someday I might face fear, but when I'm afraid. It's certain to occur. This person who is speaking, David, was one who fought lions and bears. And there's a story of him facing the giant Goliath, while the rest of the warriors, the Israelite army, were too afraid to face Goliath. David went forward and defeated him. During this period of his life that he wrote this psalm, David was constantly in danger from King Saul. Saul was determined to find David and to kill him. And David escaped, sometimes narrowly, because of God's protection. So this David, this mighty warrior, was afraid. More particularly in this psalm, we read that he was afraid of people. In verses 1 and 2, we see this. Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me. And then on into verses 5 and 6. All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps, as they have waited to take my life. You can feel David's fear in those words. David was afraid. He was afraid of people. He was afraid that they would harm him. And David was man enough to admit that he was afraid. And even to admit it publicly. He put it into song. He put it into song for all Israel to sing about, and later on others. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Sometimes we're unwilling to admit that we're afraid of certain things. Perhaps out of embarrassment. Sometimes we may think that it's a sign of weakness. Others, they may think that by admitting to it, they're giving in to it. Often our fears are masked by other things. Sometimes they're masked by anger. Now, often we can get angry because we feel threatened. So that anger is actually a sign of our fear, much like an animal. When they feel threatened, they may respond with aggression, with violence. Sometimes arrogance can mask fear. It's sort of a facade one can put up to hide their insecurities. Sometimes ambition, again, is a mask of fear. Ambition can be so often motivated by a desire to prove ourselves or to attain something that will make us feel safe. So underlying so many other things is fear. What are you afraid of? It's not weakness to admit. Rather, in some ways, it takes some courage to admit our weakness. The reality is that there is much to harm us. We are mere humans. We are frail. We are weak creatures. We are certainly not invincible. Small things can come into our lives to disrupt us. As we've seen with this virus, such a small microscopic particle that can enter into humans and shake our world and turn things upside down. Oh, how weak we are as humans. The most powerful are mere frail humans. Here today, gone tomorrow. The most powerful in the world who may glory in their power can be removed from that position in an instant. David knew that weakness. And he could be honest. He could admit his fears. And he could speak it out. He could own up to it. He could look it in the face and say, I fear this thing or that thing. Can you? Can you be honest? Can you face your fears? Can you call them out? Can you own up to them before someone else? I think it's so important for us to be honest about those things that we fear. Because if we do not, then we will not look for the answer to our fears. That moves us then to the second point. The answer to fear. The answer to fear. In this psalm, we don't only see David's honesty, but we can also see that David knew the answer to his fear. It's not that David thought that fear would disappear from his life. That's not the answer that he speaks about. That's not the answer he was looking for. He knew that fear would be something he would face throughout his life. But the important thing is this. David knew what to do in his fear. Well, what was the answer to David's fear? It was not any self-help technique. He did not find the answer, some human solution. He did not find the answer in meditation, in clearing his mind of his fears. He did not find the answer to fear in therapy. David knew what to do with his fear. He knew where to go when he was afraid. He knew where he would find safety. Of course, there will always be things to harm us in life. Or at least, you know, those things might be real or even imagined. But the key is this. It's not to come to a place where we no longer fear anything. It's not overcoming fear in that way so that thing we feared we no longer fear. Rather, I think the answer, the key, is to find a safe place in the midst of those fears. A shelter from the storm, so to speak. The storm may still threaten. We may still hear the sound of it. We may still feel the wind. But even when the storm is at its worst, we know that we are protected and therefore we know that we are safe. Where did David find shelter? Where did he find safety in the storm of his fears? Well, we're told in this psalm, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. When David was in God's protection, David knew that he was safe. Now, why is that? Why did David feel safe under God's protection? Well, the obvious answer to that question is that God is stronger. God is stronger than everything else. Whatever may threaten us, God is infinitely more powerful. He is able to ward off whatever enemy may face us. He's able to keep us safe. Notice what he says at the end of verse 4. What can mere man do to me? What can mere man do to me? They may plan their worst. They may get together in vast numbers and plot my downfall. But what can they do when God is there protecting me? Of course, man is powerless before such a powerful God. So certainly there is truth in that. God is stronger. He can protect us from whatever threatens us. But this alone, merely God's strength, is not the reason why David found safety. Because for some people, God is their greatest fear. They understand that he is stronger than all. He made the world. And therefore, he can do the greatest harm. And there are many people that feel this way toward God. God is their fear. Now, many people, when they fear God in this way, they fear he's a threat to them. He can hurt them. Now, many try to deal with that by pacifying God. So much religion is just that, pacifying an angry God. Maybe it's offering the right sacrifices. Maybe it's performing the correct rituals. Maybe it's doing a certain number of good works. Many try to pacify God in that way because they're afraid of him. Others just spend their life trying to run away from God. But either way, they don't find any safety in God. Quite the opposite. They find fear in God. But David was different. David trusted God. I will put my trust in you. Again, in verse 4, in God I have put my trust. And David gives many reasons throughout this psalm concerning why he puts his trust in God. I've got four here from this psalm. The first in verse 4 is that he believes that God's word is trustworthy. He says in verse 4, in God whose word I praise. He says the same thing in verse 10, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise. That's a way of saying he trusts that what God says is true. And throughout Scripture there are so many promises. So many promises. David had promises. God came to him and made promises to David. And so in the Bible, God has made many promises toward us. Promises of good. Promises of protection. Promises of safety. Secondly, in verse 7, David knew and trusted that God would protect him against his enemies who plotted his evil. Verse 7, because of wickedness, cast them forth in anger. Put down the peoples, O God. David knew that God could be angry, but he was convinced that God's anger would be turned against his enemies. The third thing. God allowed David to be threatened and to suffer. But David knew that God was not looking on with indifference. Listen to what he says in verse 8. You have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? David knew that God was watching everything that was happening to him, which he calls his wanderings, his fleeing from danger. But then he asked God, he says, put my tears in your bottle. It's as if every tear that David shed, God was going to have a bottle and keep them to remember every tear that he'd shed throughout his own life. And David is convinced that all of the events, all of his suffering is recorded in God's book. God will not forget all of the sufferings that David had undergone, and God will not forget all of your sufferings, all of your tears, child of God. He is not looking on with indifference, but with the deepest care. And one day he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. So David knew, he trusted God because he knew that God cared. And then fourthly, he knew that God was for him. Wow. God was for him. Verse 9. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. God is for me. This awesome God, this all-powerful God, this creator God is for me. And this reminds me of another passage in God's Word. In Romans chapter 8. These are perhaps some of the sweetest words penned by the Apostle Paul. I'm going to read verses 31 through to verse 39. And you'll see the parallel between what David says in Psalm 56. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is for us. Who can be against us. These are the things that David knew. And so, for David, the most natural thing when he felt threatened was to run to God. Psalm 91 expresses this so wonderfully. Verses 1 and 2, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Oh, that's what David knew God to be, a fortress. He would gather under his wings like a hen gathers her chicks, and he would find safety and protection from God. Or like a small child when they're frightened and they run to their parents and jump into their arms. And as the parent wraps their arms around them, that child feels an amazing safety. This is how David felt. Listen to what he wrote in Psalm 131. "Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever." So David was like this small child who had been weaned. In other words, not fussing and hungry, but settled upon his mother. That's how David felt with God. He knew to be safe in the arms of the Lord. And since David knew this safety in God, he did not act out of his fears. He didn't take matters into his own hands. He didn't try and rid himself of these fears. He didn't lash out at the people that he was afraid of. Nor did he hide away from people and from life because he was afraid of being hurt. Nor was he robbed of his peace and joy, even by those things that threatened him. Because he found this safety and this security in God, even in the midst of these storms of life, he could still rejoice. Notice the victory that comes from David's words in verse 13. "For you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living." Because of God, because of that safety he had in God, he could face life with confidence, not ruled by fear. In another place in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, with a similar confidence, says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Paul also knew that safety in God. God is the answer to your fears too. In him is ultimate safety. The creator of all, the ruler of all. When you are under the shadow of his wing, you are safe. Do you know God as David did? Maybe you believe that God is real, but you're trying to pacify him, like so many who are very religious people, trying to make sure they do the right thing to please God, not to stir up his anger. Or perhaps, like many, you are running from God, because you don't know anything of safety in his presence. to know God like David did, to know God as a kind father, to know God as one who is for you, on your side, you must become his child. You must become his child. Will he have me? Will he have me? The answer to that is yes, he will have you. Come and confess your wrongs. Come and confess those things that you've done against God. Come and confess the fact that you've pushed him away. Confess that you've had all wrong ideas about God. And ask forgiveness. Ask forgiveness on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross. He died on the cross to deal with our sin, to pay its price so that we can be forgiven. Come to God and ask for that forgiveness that Jesus won on the cross and now offers to you as a free gift. Will he have you? Yes, he will have you. He will have you as his own beloved child. And you will know what David experienced. You will know what he says in verse 3, when I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in you. David was right. He knew God. He knew that in God was ultimate safety. And that ultimate safety is available to you also. If you but come to him. Come to him in repentance and faith. You can know that shelter from the storm. Conclude with these words from the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 33, verse 27. It says this. The eternal God is a dwelling place. And underneath are the everlasting arms. The everlasting arms of God. The eternal God is a dwelling place, or others render it a refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Do you want to know this God? And to know that underneath you are his everlasting arms. You can know this too. This is who God is. What David knew was true. And may you know the truth of who God is as well. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, how often we have got you wrong. How often we've misunderstood who you are, and how in foolishness we've thought you to be a God who is either angry or indifferent. We've thought that safety would be found far from you. But Lord, we've come to see that no, safety is to be found in you. Lord, I just pray that each of us listening to this, will know that safety, that they will turn to you in humility and bow before you and ask you to be their God, their Father, through Jesus. Please, O Lord, may many turn to find you to be such a God and know the joy and the peace of having you as their God and their refuge. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.